morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, the Master Gardeners have a lot going on, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the show. But we do want to, of course, address the rains that we have seen here across the region and some of the flooding. And it's almost unnatural as to how much rain can fall. But I think it's normal in desert regions for when there are strong summer rains around the monsoon season, even though it's, I guess, now officially the fall, those rains do tend to fall and cause a lot of damage. But we were talking a little bit before the show, and these very strong rainfall amounts are not something that's unique to the region. Neither is the damage that's caused by them.
Right, exactly. You know, we go to by our official reports, whatever falls at the rain gauge at the airport, but then we look at certain areas such as what happened earlier this week in the Northeast. And I think a lot of times we kind of think, well, how can this happen? You know, and where are all of this infrastructure for us to be able to handle all of this moisture at one time? And if you really sit down and think about it, you know, our average rainfall is going to be between 8 to 10 inches. An entire year. And when you have such a significant rainfall, 5 inches on Monday in the Northeast, that's half of the rainfall they would have gotten in the entire year, falling within a matter of hours. So even though the systems are designed to hold amount of rainfall and runoff, there's no way to be able to handle all of that water all at one time. And what we look about it is, you know, there's, you know, natural arroyos falling into place, and we tend to kind of want to override that with our own landscape plans. And you have to also realize that that's the reason why that water is going to channel off to that lowest spot. And I think it's important to also look at the types of soil that you have. If you have enough soil, and, you know, we had a significant rainfall event here last week. So in this essence, really that water hasn't really drained or moved through that soil profile fast enough, because along with that rainfall also came cooler weather. So we had less evaporation coming from the soil surface. So that water was essentially there. And then you compound that with additional rainfall, and soil is just like a sponge. You know, it can only hold so much before it starts running off too. So that's really important to be able to look at and say that rainfall comes out, you know, there's nothing that we really can do to prepare that. The small things that we can do is kind of be conscientious to see where it is that we live and the practices that we ourselves can take to be able to mitigate any kind of issues on our own property. Obviously, you know, rainwater harvesting, whether that's active or passive, can be able to take that apart. Also landscaping plans, when you kind of put your landscape is going to be naturally be graded on a neighborhood where the builder's going to put in the foundation of your plants, but also, you know, have that natural highest point of your landscape closer to the house for it to all run on a slower slope towards your curb and down to your street. I mean, you don't want to go contradicting across those ways, because you're just only going to make trouble or issues worse for you on the end.
But then again, you know, you have these natural amounts that fall, again, like you're saying, within a certain amount of time, and no infrastructure is going to be able to handle that amount of rainfall.
Right, exactly. That's the key. That's the bottom line. So, I mean, we obviously have to, you know, be safe, be prepared for ourselves, and be really conscientious of, you know, the weather events coming up. And there's just so many different apps that you can have on your phone with all these weather alerts. And, you know, take those seriously. I think that's just a good common sense to be a good citizen.
And we also want to sort of point out the importance of a landscape when maybe not necessarily very heavy flash flooding occurs, but when there is a lot of rainfall, when there's a lot of washout of soils. Like, for example, when we see unincorporated areas, I remember some years ago when Vado got almost completely washed away because there were these unincorporated properties and people living on basically just sand. And so when that rain came, it just washed away. But then when you have some sort of a landscape there, whether it be grass or trees or shrubs, that's going to help prevent that soil erosion.
Yes, exactly. And because we've had some rains come up, we have a lot of ground cover, a lot of grasses that are sprout or not because of that, and they definitely keep that soil into place. Those root systems really hold down to prevent that soil washout. So definitely you don't want to have a barren landscape, but this goes into back into what we talk about all throughout the year when you put in your landscape. Don't put that black plastic and put your rock on top of it. Make sure it's a landscape fabric that's going to allow that water to penetrate into and stay on the property and go through the soil profile. So yeah, all of these things that we talk about that sometimes it seems like we're falling on deaf ears, but there's a purpose for that.
And hopefully if our listeners haven't had too much damage to their property, they're probably having a lot of plants sitting in a lot of water. So we're just going to have to wait and see what the long-term effects of that are going to be. And maybe gather up your questions because we'll be having a live show here on October the 11th. So
yeah,
stick around for that one.
Definitely. And yes, and keep in mind that when plants do sit in water for quite a while, they will have a lack of oxygen in them. So they'll look rather sickly. They'll kind of look a little wilted or a little have a yellow tinge to them. And that's because of the water that they're sitting in. You want to make sure that if you can remove the water, that's great. If not, you're going to just have to let nature take its place. But that happens in all plants whenever they're submerged in water.
There are, as I was saying earlier at the beginning of the show, a lot of events that the Master Gardeners are going to be participating in. And one of them, before we talk about this upcoming vegetable workshop, there's going to be a home and garden show that the Master Gardeners are going to be at. And perhaps that maybe listeners who have questions can approach Master Gardeners there while they're at the home and garden show.
Yes, it's definitely a really great event. We participate in both the spring and the fall garden show. This is going to be held at the Convention Center downtown. It's a 3-day event. The Master Gardeners will be there all 3 days. They will have an informational booth, an informational table where they'll be able to answer your questions. So you can certainly take a plant sample with you, take some pictures with you, and show the Master Gardeners that are out there and help you answer your questions. In addition to the adult education, there's also going to be a kids activity corner where some of our new Master Gardeners have some really great activities lined up for those kids to kind of get them excited about gardening and growing plants.
And what kid doesn't like to get dirty?
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Exactly. And we know that these are really fun-filled events. You know, mom and dad want to go certain ways, and then there's always something there for the kids. So that'll be one activity for them as well. If you do have extra time, you might want to stick around the information booth, because at the garden stage, the Master Gardeners will be holding talks every top of the hour throughout the entire 3-day event on different subjects. There'll be informational talks, not very formal, some great educational posters out there, and really an open format with a great question and answer, nice little dialogue. So if you can, come in, sit down, take a rest, and listen and have your questions answered.
And that's going to be October 17th through the 19th at the Convention Center downtown, the Home and Garden Show. Now, there's a workshop coming up already next Saturday, October the 4th, and it's the Fall Vegetable Gardening Workshop. We touched upon this briefly last week, but let's go into a little bit more detail. It's a Fall Vegetable Gardening Workshop. What particular vegetables are we sort of focusing on here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Fall's a really great time for planting vegetables, and we really focus on some cold crops. So your broccoli, your cauliflower are really great plants to be able to put into your garden right now during the fall time. In addition to that, also a lot of leafy greens do really well. Your lettuce, your spinach, they do really amazing with this cooler weather. If it gets too hot, they kind of send out a bolt of flowers, and you just don't want that because then your spinach and your lettuce taste really bitter after that. But these really cool temperatures for the fall make a really great planting. So what we're going to do at our fall vegetable workshop is we're really going to divide our talks into tops and bottoms. So things that are going to grow above the ground and then things that are going to grow below the ground. So we will touch on things such as onions and garlic and even some potatoes. That way people can kind of get a sense of what they can do in the fall to be able to have a fruitful garden all year around. Planting things that go below the ground, such as, you know, potatoes or garlic, sometimes they do really well in containers, because when here comes harvest time, the last thing you want to do is kind of like stick in these huge pitchforks to try to harvest those tubers. So what you definitely want to do is you can have a container growing so that the container is where it's holding all of the potatoes, and then you can be able to chip that over and shake it out, and then there's all your crop, so that you don't risk kind of piercing your crop with your with your tools or your implements. So kind of focusing on those techniques as well. If you haven't gotten any of your fall vegetables, the Master Gardeners will also be selling some seedlings for sale as well. All of these plants were grown by Master Gardeners, and all the proceeds to the sale goes back to be able to support their educational efforts.
So it's a workshop taking place again a week from today, Saturday, October 4th. It's from 9 a.m. to noon, but registration is due, I believe, by the 29th.
Yes, you want to definitely go ahead and call the Extension office, or you can register online. All your materials and your handouts are included in the program fee, so we want to make sure that we have a good count to be able to work with for that morning.
So it's only a $10 fee. It covers everything, and then you maybe want to spend an additional few extra dollars to get those neat little seedlings to take home so you can put into practice what you've just learned at the workshop. And for example, let's talk just a little bit about maybe those root vegetables. You hear people growing garlic and carrots, but yeah, I haven't heard too much about people growing potatoes here.
Yeah, you can definitely grow potatoes in El Paso. There's a few types that work the best. The Yukon Go works really good for potatoes in our area, and I've seen them grown in large plastic tubs, kind of like what you would use for like a summer picnic type thing. So if you just use that, drill some holes in the bottom to allow for drainage, you're able to, garden at a comfortable height on that.
Oh,
so
that's
pretty neat. It's all about the type of vegetable, especially potatoes, that you pick for this area.
And also, garlic. I have seen flowers out there that are really attractive flowers for garlic. And you were saying earlier in the show that some vegetables, when they put out a flower, it causes the vegetable to become bitter. Is this the case also with garlic?
Yeah, well, garlic, you want to make sure that you don't allow those to flower unless you're looking for the stems. I know some folks like to grow them for the flower stems, and they kind of smell, they have a garlicky aroma, but they dry really nice. And that's how they kind of add to a nice floral arrangement on that. You want to make sure that you keep them just producing that bulb. You want all that energy to be able to go into producing that garlic.
So we want to encourage you to sign up for this fall vegetable gardening workshop next Saturday, October the 4th. Registration is due by September 29th. It's just a few days away. So you can call to reserve your spot, 860-2515, 860-2515. We also have a link for you to register on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org if you wish to do that as well. And we also encourage you to listen to last week's show about composting, sort of to give you a really good head start on how to enrich your soil when you get your vegetable garden started.
There you go.
We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.